Good morning. I invite you to turn your Bibles to the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua is the sixth book in the Old Testament, and chronologically it falls before the book of Judges, which Pastor Jack has been using for his current preaching series. Hear the word of God for us today from Joshua chapter 24. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out." Now moving down to verse 13. "I gave you a land which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." And then finally, verse 25. "So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem." Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A day to remember, a day to choose. This is the focus of our reading today from the book of Joshua. The setting of our story is at the end of Joshua's life. Joshua, God's chosen replacement for Moses, is now an old man about to die. He calls the people of Israel together for them to remember and for them to choose. We too are called here together for a special purpose on this day, this Remembrance Day Sunday. We gather this day because Sunday is the day that our community of faith gathers together to remember all that God has done for us, especially through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Remembrance Day is the day that we gather together to honor those who lost their lives fighting for not only our nation, but for the cause of freedom throughout the world. The men and women we honor on Remembrance Day demonstrated the highest form of faith in the triumph of good over evil. Just as they had a mission to do, we too have a mission to remember and to choose. There is great value in remembering. For Christians, remembering is the opportunity to tell our own stories, our own faith stories, and to share what is important. We remember the good and the bad, the happy and the sad events we all encounter on this journey through life. For others, remembering is a lesson in telling of past events and the education that it can provide. For others, remembering is a matter of honoring, of respecting and evoking the emotions and the feelings that are best in a person. The laughter, tears, joy, outrage, forgiveness, humility, and determination. Remembering is good, especially on Remembrance Day. For the beginning to the end of war lies in remembering. But our reading from Joshua reminds us that as Christians, remembering is also a call to action. Remembering calls us to make a decision. Without deciding what we are called to do, remembering has little power or purpose for us as Christians. In our scripture reading, Joshua told the story of how God had faithfully and graciously treated the children of Israel. God had chosen Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and promised them a land. God had remembered Joseph in Egypt and raised up Moses to deliver the people from slavery. God had led his people safely through the clutches of Pharaoh and watched over them as they wandered in the wilderness of the Sinai Desert for 40 years. And now, under the leadership of Joshua, God had finally brought the 12 tribes across the River Jordan and into the Promised Land, driving out their enemies before them. It was the Promised Land of milk and honey. God had given them a land for which they had not labored to build, and grape vineyards and olive groves that they had not planted. Joshua tells the Israelite people the story of their ancestors and how God delivered them from oppression and captivity, slavery, and death. He asks them to remember all that God has done for them. Joshua remembers the story, and then he calls the people to understand what has been remembered, and then to make a decision. The decision is to choose to follow the one true God who gave them life, or to choose to follow in the paths of the nations that surround them and to worship their gods. The people respond to this challenge by reciting back to Joshua the story as they remembered it. The people remembered how God worked miracles to set them free. And although there were hostile nations all around them, the Lord protected them wherever they went. Then the people say to Joshua that, like him, they will serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God that had been good to them. And the people promised. And on this day, we also are asked to remember not only all those who suffered and died and who sacrificed so much for us to be free, we are asked to remember the reason for which all honorable men and women have fought through the centuries, for the good of not only their nation, but of the whole world. And, most importantly, we are called this day not only to remember what God has done for us, but we are called to choose whom we will serve. Joshua reminded the people of their history, how God had blessed them and then demanded that the people choose which God they will serve. He reminded them that this is no easy decision. There is a cost involved. There is a cost of total commitment. Should they falter? Should they put their hand to the plow and look back? Should they attempt to live with one foot in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that gives life, and the other foot in the world of idols? They will find spiritual death instead of life. Today we remember, and today we are called to choose. We are called to choose spiritual life or death, or choose God and the things of God, or to choose our own self-centered interests and the things of this world. The message for us is the same as the message to the children of Israel. They who forget the call to God and instead to be like everyone else around them, who only look after themselves, who focus on seeking wealth instead of justice, who practice vengeance instead of mercy, and who pursue the ways of this world rather than the truth of God, they are lost. Should we follow the other gods so prevalent in our land? Should we value our own prosperity while ignoring the poverty of others? Should we desire our own comfort more than we desire that of helping others? Should we value the false peace of endless compromise to the hard work of speaking the truth to those who would lie? If we do, the sacrifices made by the men and women of faith who came before us are in vain. And their memories will be dishonored even as we speak their names. And we and our descendants after us will spiritually perish. The kingdom of God is distinguished by joyful peace. Is a kingdom marked by freedom from pain and death, is marked by love that knows no hate, by plenty that knows no limit. It is a kingdom that was offered to us by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is a kingdom that is here, but one in which we do not yet see it all in its glory. Christ needs us to assist in fulfilling, in bringing it to its fulfillment. Let me say that again, I'm sorry. Christ needs us to assist in bringing this kingdom to its fulfillment. And to make that happen, this kingdom demands our all. Jesus committed his life to us by his death on the cross, and in doing so, rose to new life on the third day. Likewise, we too are called to rise up and commit ourselves completely to being kingdom builders for Jesus Christ. So what does this mean, this call to be committed to Christ? I think that the Bible gives us no better example than the life of the Apostle Paul. After his conversion, Paul was a person who was totally committed to Christ. After his conversion, Paul was a person who was committed, and his commitment did not depend on the situation or how well it would accommodate his personal interests or needs. He had made a commitment to Christ and would let nothing interfere with his calling. As he wrote to the church in Corinth, he was challenging them with his own personal testimony of commitment and faithfulness to the Lord. Paul's commitment was evidenced in his acceptance of his calling through the blessings and the hardships of life. He was accepting the fact that God had called him to serve with his whole life, regardless of the circumstances he found himself in. Hear Paul's words in this small but significant passage in his second letter to the church in Corinth. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. I'm going to point out three things that I think are important in this passage. Notice how Paul begins, therefore, having this ministry. Have you ever thought that when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, God, at that very moment, had a ministry for you? Has it occurred to you that you were saved for a purpose? Have you committed to your life to this purpose? Do you feel that you have not discovered your ministry? If so, be faithful. Read the New Testament and ask that the Holy Spirit guide you. I believe your prayers will be answered. Paul's walk was also a walk of mercy. We read, having this ministry by the mercy of God. A committed Christian does not view serving God as bondage or as a burden. It is a blessing. If you want to know what bondage is, look at the average unsaved person. Typically, they are enslaved by what our current culture tells them is important. The fulfillment that comes to us by our service to Christ far outweighs earthly entertainments or riches. And these blessings come to us by the mercy of God. It is not a burden to serve God. It is by His mercy and grace that we have the privilege to serve Him. When you serve Christ, something happens to you. There is an inward joy that stays with you, permeates your life, and becomes a witness to others. Paul's walk was also a walk of commitment. We do not lose heart. A committed Christian determines to be faithful until their earthly life has been completed. It seems that most of the time the values and beliefs of the Bible completely contradict the values of the world today. Sometimes it can be difficult to serve Him. It can be difficult to be a witness. And let's be honest, it can be difficult to keep believing what we have been taught to believe. Nevertheless, if we are committed to Jesus and support one another, we will remain faithful to the Lord. We must remember that it is by the Lord's strength that we serve, not our own. God will strengthen us to keep our commitment to Christ. Say to yourself, Christ is counting on me, and I am counting on Christ. Not only has God called us, but He has bought us. Earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." That means that God owns you through the price Jesus paid for you on the cross. That fact alone should turn our hearts to serving Him in gratitude. A committed Christian does not deny God's ownership of his life, but embraces it with joy. You are no longer just a student, a retired person, a teacher, someone who works in a restaurant or in retail or construction or has interesting hobbies, but you are a servant of the Most High God. We all should reevaluate our level of commitment to the Lord. Do you dare greatly for Jesus Christ? Will you be found faithful, committing your life to serve Him? Let me ask you, if you're accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? We start this message with Joshua's final words to the Israelites. Many scholars believe that Paul's second letter to Timothy were the final words written by Paul as he neared his own certain death. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing." Paul could write these words because he had totally committed his life to serving Jesus Christ. I don't expect any of us to reach the same level of service to Christ as Paul did. But who knows? God can do anything. But if we fully embrace the ministry that God has set before each of us, no matter how big or how small that is, then we will have the opportunity to say the same thing when it is our time to die. Therefore, let us all ask ourselves this day, how committed am I to the Lord? Then let us remember and let us choose for the Lord, so like Joshua, we can all stand before our Maker and all the saints that have gone before us, saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now let's say that together, and let's say it like we mean it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.